I was thinking about how do we continue to avoid sin. We heard about that this morning. And since we must continue living in newness of life, these days of self-examination, we examine ourselves, is Christ in us, aren't we? I was thinking about, I was going to say, how hungry are you? You're not hungry right now, so this isn't good. I should have had this for the Day of Atonement. I could have got a little response. But, are you thirsty? Have you ever been really thirsty? I mean, hurting thirsty. You know, there's American hunger and thirst, and then there's the world's where people really get hungry and thirsty. We think we get hungry here, but, hunger and thirst can range from slightly unpleasant to downright painful. And as one person was telling me, when there's a boy in the church, church could go on pretty long back in the day. And, he's a youngster and his parents are there all day and they had to drive probably 40 minutes to get home, and he's starving. They wouldn't stop, and they go through the town, and he looks out the window, and he says, "There goes the last Dairy Queen," and so it was home without food. You really begin to feel hunger. But what about Matthew 5 and verse 6, if we turn there? Understand that your body actually releases a hormone that signals your brain that the stomach's empty. And it tells your brain to let you know you're hungry. So here we go in Matthew 5. And Jesus talks about blessed. Matthew 5 is the blessed. You could say the blessed chapter. But in verse 6 of Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." There's hunger and thirst. And maybe these past days we've had certain hunger for certain food. But it says here, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." They shall be filled. Well, as far as the title today, I would title it "The Spiritually Hungry World." A lot of the world is physically hungry, but most of the world is spiritually hungry. And we see there, and the word "hunger" there means to famish and to crave, to toil, like really wanting something. So the world is hungry and it's feeding itself on what? Well, basically junk food. Junk spiritual food. And that's what the world is getting right now. Even the Pharisees, they were teaching. They appeared righteous, but really what they were practicing was not. And we know, we won't turn back to Amos 8, but it tells of a time when there will be a famine of the word. And now that chapter is about people not appreciating the word when they have it. It talks about, when will the Sabbath be over so that we can go sell grain? And then it adds that we can sell it in a deceptive weight to make more money, not appreciating the blessings. But, there in Amos it talks about spiritual source of food will be taken away at a time because people aren't, those that have it, do not really even appreciate it. God said, because of their sins, I just won't pass by there again. and talks about swallowing up the needy. And you know, the world is spiritually needy, and what are they getting? They're getting evolution, false religion, and it's given as a false spiritual food. You know, and they don't have time to really eat spiritually. So they don't take time to eat, and they don't understand to eat. So God will send a famine. In verse 11 through 13 of Amos 8, it talks that he will send a famine. So it's a matter that we don't really appreciate things until they're taken away. You know, we can get to the point, do we really appreciate what God has opened our minds to? We might come to that purpose. So my purpose or my thesis or my whole thing is, what are the missing spiritual food and drinks? What is missing? The world seems to be fed spiritually, physically, all kinds of different diets of religion. But what is the missing spiritual food? And of course, how would we find it? Well, my point kind of is the world is eating and drinking junk food. I think that was mentioned this morning. Spiritually and physically, it's dual. We're being fed junk food, both physically and spiritually. A false gospel, a false Jesus. We got false hamburger. We got, you know, I guess whatever. But what is the real spiritual food and drink? So, you know, we, as it said there in Exodus, we were to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. That'd be in Exodus 13:6. I'm sure you're familiar with that, but it says for 7 days you're to eat unleavened bread. There's a lesson there. It's not just refraining from eating leavening. It's actually eating unleavened. What is this unleavened bread? You know, it shall be a feast toward you. What is the real spiritual food and drink? So spiritual food, one point of spiritual food is doing God's will. That's real nutrition. Practicing, you could say what we preach, but what we know. What God has revealed and we practice it is a form of spiritual food. Let's look at Job chapter 23. And, Job 23. Just if we look back there, we won't need to turn back to Job 1:8, but God says Job was a righteous man. He was a proper man. Well, maybe I should look at that. Job 1:8. Job, it said what God said about Job. Job 1:8. Then the Eternal said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and shuns evil?" He turns away from evil. So then here's Job saying in Job 23, verse 11, "My foot has held fast to his steps." Job 23, verse 11, "I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food," it says, or my necessary portion. Job says that he treasured God's food more than his physical necessity. Yes, spiritual food is doing God's will. That's one of the foods that we get. And of course, that's just one, but that is one. So, doing God's will. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. What did Jesus say in John chapter 6, verse 32? John 6. We see that he who comes to me will never hunger. John 6, verse 32 through 35. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did give you the bread from heaven." They had manna. They had it for 40 years, didn't they? They ate it, they ate it, and they ate it. Even one place says they got sick of it. We may turn there and read. Well, we could here in just a minute. That they didn't appreciate it either. "When my Father gives you, and most surely I say to you, Moses did give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." That's food, spiritual food. For verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And what I wanted to read now, let's see, verse 35, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." So we got hunger and thirst. In verse 49, what's it? "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead." They had the manna came every day. And they would gather it every day and twice the amount on Friday. "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead." And then in verse 50, "This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give you is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." So my flesh I give for the life of the world. I don't need to turn back there, but Numbers 21, verse 4 and 5, it's the Israelites complained that their soul detests this worthless bread that miraculously fell from heaven. And I have to ask myself, will I get in that attitude toward God's spiritual bread? Oh, there it is. Yeah, there's the Bible. I can read it when I want to. I can do this or I can do this. And I want something else. No, some of God's ways, even with us, maybe don't agree with us. We've got our own ideas maybe about how things could be done. But Jesus said, I give for the life of the world itself. Of course, without food, the body dies. Let's look now at, okay, that was, I might have skipped some scriptures, I think. I got too many pages here. I turned to Matthew 7, didn't I? No, that's what I didn't do. Well, it'll be okay. Just I was just testing you to see if you was asleep. Apparently, everybody was asleep. Nobody stopped me. Said, he's jumped over here on the other track. Okay, Matthew 7, verse 21. So we're talking about one of God's food is doing the will of God. That's what we were speaking of. In verse 21, Matthew 7, 21. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." This is a spiritual food, is doing God's will. And then goes on to verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me. Wait, I need to read verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? People say, look, we praised Jesus. We did all these things in his name. It says even miracles. We've cast out demons. We've done many wonders. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. How could that be? He says, depart from me, who practice lawlessness, violation of God's law. In other words, not doing the deed. They're not being fed because they're not actually doing what there is to be done. And then turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Doing God's will is, this is a way that we're actually fed, because this increases our, the more you actually doing something is how you really learn it. You can hear about it, you can go to school, you can read the books, but you need to do it. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then on over to chapter 15, in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So doing God's will is part of the spiritual food that we all have to have. We have to practice what we know. My second point, which I had jumped over to, is Jesus is the source of spiritual food. He's the source of spiritual food. But of course, the world and Satan wants to keep us on what? Junk food. It's fast, it's easy, it's got a lot of salt and sugar in it. And you know, the older you get, the less things you taste. Pretty soon all you're tasting is sugar and salt. It's not that nutritious. Okay, Satan and the world wants to keep us on junk food diet and eat whatever you want. So this time we will go back to eating leavened bread, but we're not to go back to spiritual leaven. And John 6, I think I already read that, but we had read that whoever comes to me will never thirst or never hunger. Yes, we have read that. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, which is Christ. In verse 49, the true bread, I am the bread of life. Your father ate manna in the wilderness and are dead, aren't they? But Israel tried, they got tired of manna. I think I will turn over to Numbers 21. This might seem, man, this is getting pretty brazen to come out and say something like this, but that's the way we can become. Numbers 21, verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of people became very discouraged. It says in the margin, they became impatient. didn't they? They became impatient. And in verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. They said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our soul, what does it do? It loathes or it detests this worthless bread. Well, that's pretty brazen, you know. And sometimes I think, well, you know, am I getting that way? Well, yeah, I got the Bible. Look on the internet, all the church information. I got stacks of booklets. And people begin to get itching ears and want to find something maybe more exciting. But no, we need to stick with the Word of God. Without food, the body dies. And Jesus is that source. I don't think I've read, I want to check and be sure if I've read John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, is what he's saying. How do we do that? Are we cannibals? I think I've heard one of the speakers talk about in the first century that the Romans might have considered Christians cannibals because this information they had received. How do we do this? No, we're not cannibals. Verse 55 says, for my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I am him. How do we do that? Verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. In verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven. We need to think about, we observe days of unleavened bread, the Passover. These things are all types of the real thing. Yes, that real manna, the real lamb, the real unleavened bread, or the real leavened bread is sin. And these were types. But in verse 63, it explains that he who feeds on me live because of me. Look at verse 63. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Notice the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That is the manna. Remember Jesus, the Word? Remember John chapter 1? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I live because of the Father. My words are spirit. His words are spiritual food. And Jesus Christ is the source of that spiritual food. And we were talking before services about, well, what about Samson and David? And Christ wasn't even alive or crucified then. Well, God's plan was from the beginning, wasn't it? He didn't just, oh man, look, they're sinning. What are we going to do? Let's see. One of us is going to have to go down and die. No, that was not it. Let's look at 1 Peter. I think I wrote down 1 Peter chapter 1. So Jesus is, he is the source. And the King David, all those in Hebrews 11 died in faith. Let's read here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied in the grace that would come to you. In verse 11, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. And if we just looked at verse, say, 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Jesus Christ was foreordained from the foundation, but nobody knew when that sacrifice would happen. But it was foreordained. And for whatever reason, 2,000 years ago, that was the time. But it was ordained from the beginning. So the prophets of old, they knew the God of Israel, the God who had given up the glory of the Godhead to give his life for mankind. So, who feeds on me will live, is what Jesus said. Christ lived because of the Father. Think about that. Jesus was the Word. He emptied himself and he became flesh miraculously. And he lived because of the Father. The Father was the only one, the only God in heaven spiritually. The Word had become flesh. Christ gave up his life and became a servant. Let's just look at that. We may have saw that this morning. I can't remember. Was that in Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, that same mind. And if we're not taking that in, we're not being fed. Who being in the form of God, says being in the form of God, he was the Word, did not consider it robbery, but he did not consider it something to hang on to. He had all the power, he had the glory, he had the strength, but he didn't hang on to that to be equal with God, but made himself, in verse 7, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So see, this is preordained from the foundation of the world. But when that sacrifice would be made, I don't know when that was determined, but it did happen. And the Word became flesh and poured out his life for all mankind. And that was ordained from the beginning for all of those, the prophets of old, Abraham, his children. So, brethren, we are to give up this world's food and our own life for Christ. That spiritual leaven that is so abundant out there. Any kind of religion you want, you can get some spiritual food that'll suit your fancy, as they say. So what about water? How long are we going to live without water? What I understand is about 60% of our body is water. We can't go too long without water. Males, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, males need about 3 quarts daily and females about 2. So also we'll see that Jesus is the spiritual water, the real water. We've got to have water. And we've got to have water just about every day. I mean, how long can we go? It's reported we can go about 3 days. I don't know. Depends on that, the person, the conditions, and those kind of things. But God had promised that he would pour water out on us. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, you can write that down. But for I will pour water on him who is thirsty. In other words, him who is thirsty. Isaiah 44, 3. He who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. This is all types of the real water. I will pour, and then he goes on in that same verse, I will pour my spirit on your descendants and blessing on your offspring. This particular chapter, it's involved in the millennial reign, but it shows that God's spirit, or water, is a type of God's spirit. You know, God's spirit works in our minds as the tool that it's a tool that helps us mold our thoughts and our attitudes to become like God. And of course, next month or from now, we'll be talking about this, about repentance and receiving God's Spirit, the power that enabled us to live his way. But we need that Spirit, and it comes through Jesus Christ and his Word. Keeps us in mind of it. So let's look now. Jesus is the spiritual water, the real water. Look at John chapter 4. We see Jesus stops at a well, and here's a woman at a well. That's familiar, isn't it? If you go back through, women are at wells in the Bible. I mean, Moses, he goes to the wilderness, and there the women are with the sheep, and Isaac's servant goes to the well, and there's the wife of Isaac, and here Jesus is. In John 4, verse 7, says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. He was thirsty. And he probably saw an opportunity to teach, maybe. I don't know, did he plan this, to be at this well right when this woman was coming? I don't know, but there it was. And Jesus asked for water. And in verse 7 then, for his disciples had gone there and to buy food. Then the woman in verse 9 of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me? You remember the Samaritans, the Jews, they looked down on the Samaritans because they had been brought there and in place of Israelites in the history, past history. You, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for the Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. But you know, Jesus liked to use examples of Samaritans. We've heard of the Good Samaritan. You know, the priest walked by, he didn't have time. The Levite walked by, he didn't have time. Then here comes the Samaritan, the despised Samaritan. He stops and helps the guy. Well, we won't go there now, but you know the story. She said, for Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. So at times Jesus would bring this up to make them stop and think, hey, You know, they said, well, we don't need anything. Well, Abraham's our father. And Jesus, probably remember, he said something like, well, God can raise up stones for Abraham's children. So in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, if she understood who she was talking to, if she understood that she was talking to the Word that created all things, including her, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have been asking him, and he would have given you living waters. Yes, Jesus Christ has the living waters. He saw an opportunity to teach. He said, if you knew who it was, you know, we have the booklet, The Real Jesus, and some other booklets that can keep us reminded or educate us on who it is who she was speaking to. Jesus gives living water. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Well, there is some spiritual water. There's self-help books, and they may help in some ways. But you know, the real living water is Christ and his word. And verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. For the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. See, it will become a fountain. That's moving water. It's not stagnant water. It's moving water. Fountain of living water. So we need to replenish daily. I mean, we can live maybe a few days without water spiritually. How long do you think you can live spiritually? I don't know. As it said, how lucky do you feel, punk? I mean, do you want to take that chance? How lucky are you? You can just neglect, you know, well, I think I can get by. You know, I'll do it tomorrow. But we need replenished daily, don't we? Yes, daily. Christ has to live in us. We could look at Galatians chapter 2, and we can't. I don't see how. Well, you say, well, it looks like David must have neglected it for a while. Maybe he did, and maybe he thought he was doing it, and he just kept tapering off a little bit, and he became weaker and weaker spiritually. Without food, without water, what do? You get weaker and weaker and weaker until, you know, you can be pushed over. I was going to go look at Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is something we have to be renewed. Christ has to live with us every day. I mean, some people aren't morning people and all that. But first thing in the morning, whatever your morning is, don't go out the door without your contact with God. It can be dangerous out there, as far as spiritually speaking and physically, as far as that goes. And you don't want to do it. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 27. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, if anyone gets in the idea that they can bypass Christ, they're going to be in trouble. Because there's no bypassing there. We need to come. If anyone thirsts, we need to come. Let's look back at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And we will see in verse 37. John 7, verse 37. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me." That's what has to happen. We have to come to Christ. If anyone thirst. Here in verse 38 it says, "He who believes in me, the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Well, God working with us, he'll reveal to us. We're thirsty, we need to move. Right? We need to get some water, some spiritual water. If you ever all at once realize, you know, I haven't drank any water today. I'm getting dried out. If we have physical thirst, what about our spiritual thirst? I hope we're aware of that. We need to want that spiritual water, don't we? Yes, we do. Well, most of you know the Psalms 42, don't you? Let's look at that. Psalms 42. And what's this talking about? Psalms 42. Where is that? Psalms chapter 42. Verse 1 and 2 and maybe more. It says in Psalms 42, verse 1, "As the deer pants," and it says there in the margin, "longs for the water brook, so pants my soul for you." How thirsty are we? You know, it says, "As the deer pants for the water." I know in the South, maybe they do. The guys used to hunt deer with dogs. They would chase the deer, and I mean, the deer just running. You can see the deer's tongues hanging out, and if it could find a brook. Well, brethren, we are chased. As you know, if you think about it, you get chased. You get chased by this world and by the evil one, and you're trying to flee. You know where to flee? Fornication, as it was talked about this morning. The wise decision of Joseph compared to the other man. We're being chased, whether we're male or female, in whatever way. And we need to be panting for that water. So pants my soul for you, who? Oh, God. And he goes on to say, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear before God?" It says, when shall I appear before God? Well, I think it says there in verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?" And then it says in verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise." We come every week. We come and get an extra drink of water, fresh water in the house of God. We go to God's shelter. We're able to take shelter for a day. Take shelter for a day. Where do we find that spiritual water that deer pants for? We can't live without water. General rule, as I think I mentioned, about 3 days, your body needs to be replenished. The world drains that spiritual water. It's something we have to go after. That needs to be on a daily basis. So we need, what was this water that deer was panting for? He said it was her God, or the deer God. Let's look at John chapter 7. We'll see the source of that water. John chapter 7, verse 37. Here on the, says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me." And you know, they had the water pouring ceremony, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so here's his opportunity. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me," verse 38, "is this, as the scripture, me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Yes. Rivers of living water. Jesus is that source. And that Psalm 42. And that deer is panting for the water of God, as we should be also. Yes, we should be wanting that too. You know, think about it. What's water a type of? It's God's Spirit. You know, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So we need, everyone who thirsts needs to come to Jesus Christ. In other words, and drink what is good, and enough of the junk. We see there in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. In verse 17. Revelation 7, verse 17. "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne," I think we've been through these days, we've been through Passover, we understand the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb. That Lamb the Israelites sacrificed was a type. All that were types of the real thing. Revelation 7, 17. "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to" what? "Living fountains of water." Fountains of the waters of life, it says in the margin. "And God will wipe away every tear then." So we might also turn back to Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. You know, if any, I guess even what in our government, when the prayer was given over the Congress, or what was that, and they prayed in the name of some pagan god, you know, bypassing Jesus Christ in a nation. Anyway, Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am Alpha, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" Jesus said, "Come to me and I will give that." If you have any doubts about that, just look at Revelation 1:8, where you see this written. And Jesus saying, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is he who was and who is to come, the Almighty," the one that was and is and who is to come. In verse 18 it says, "I am he who lives and was dead." Who was that? Well, it had to be Jesus Christ. "And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of Hades and death. Jesus Christ has the keys to life and death. So that's where we need to be. And you know, Satan has always tried to discredit and diminish Jesus Christ. That's a mark you can identify with. He's always. We know about Colossians 1:16. I won't need to there that by Jesus Christ or the Word, all things were created. He's a creator, right? But in Genesis 3, verse 1, Satan comes and he tries to discredit God or the Word, the one that became Jesus, and saying, oh, you won't die. He just knows you're going to be like him. See, throwing doubt and discrediting the God of creation. And what happened in Matthew chapter 2? See how much time I got here, but Matthew 2, verse 4. What does Herod try to do? Herod tries to kill Christ as a child. See, always Satan is his main driving is to destroy the Savior, the God who created, probably even him. Yeah, and in verse 16 of Matthew 2, it says, and he killed the male children from 2 years down and younger. He wanted to be sure to not miss anyone, didn't he? And of course, in Matthew 4, we see where Satan tried to destroy Jesus spiritually. He said, well, if you be the Son of God, do this, do that. And if you'll worship me, all this will be given to you now. He tried to cause division there, which couldn't be done, but he attempts these things to cause division between Jesus and the Father, as if they're in competition with each other. So he tried to cause division. That's one of the red flags that Satan's involved, if there's causing division between Christ and the Father. And that's what Satan did with the angels, didn't he? We could turn there in Revelation chapter 12. I think I'm here anyway. Revelation chapter 12. We see that. How could he have done this? Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Okay, let's look at verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. He looked like royalty. His tail drew a third of the stars from heaven. His tail drew. In other words, they followed him. A third of the angels. He caused division within God's kingdom. And a third of those angels followed him. And he drew them to the earth. And then he stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as he was born. That's going back to Herod. You know, and we could look at Mark chapter 5 sometime if you want to, back in verse 38, where Satan, apparently, he's the god of the air and the forces of wind. God has allowed him to have that power at times. He tried to stop Jesus from casting out all that legion of demons as they crossed the Sea of Galilee. There's a big storm. Jesus is asleep. They said, we're perishing. And Jesus woke up and calmed the sea and then went on to shore and met the man with legions, probably 2 men, and cast out all those demons and ran into the hogs. And then, of course, that man wanted to go with Jesus. And he said, no, This time, you know, many times he said, go and tell no man. But he told him, go and tell your neighbors and your family. And that would be a book right there. What did that man do? That'll be interesting. Because later, when Jesus returned that area, hundreds of people came and brought their sick. Well, I'll just point was Satan has always tried to discredit the source of spiritual food. If he can starve people to death spiritually, that's good enough, isn't it? So we have to ask, how hungry and thirsty are you? And you say, well, I'm pretty thirsty. If you'd shut up, I'd go get a drink, right? Well, you will. You're just about there. You know, we eat and drink, but are we ever really satisfied? Some are aware of spiritual food and drink, but don't want to go to the source. They want to pick their own kind of savior or their own way of being fed spiritually. False Jesus. As we had read, Jesus said, I never knew you because you don't do doing God's will. So just as physical food and water need replenished every day, same with spiritual food and water, it just won't last. Well, as long as we're in the flesh, we're going to have to keep being renewed. I don't know after we're spirit beings, a fountain of living water, it'll just be there, I don't know. But now, we're in the flesh. We have to have physical water. We have to have spiritual water if we're to remain alive spiritually. Remember, they gathered manna every day? They didn't eat it once and then it was good. No, they had to go every day, just like we have to go every day. So we need to be about doing God's will. See, that was one of the food, is actually doing God's will. You know, our spiritual food and water won't last. You know, doing God's will is a day. Be asking, you know, every day we have to be asking for forgiveness. And God keeps opening our minds. And I was telling my wife, this is just personal confession, okay? No, I said, I always thought I was a pretty good guy. I mean, not really great guy, but I was a pretty good guy. You know, just looking around, I was a pretty nice guy. But some reason this year, during these days, I realized, man, you weren't even a pretty good guy. You're just pretty, I mean, you could just be pretty nasty. It kind of came to me that, I was always a pretty good old boy. No, I wasn't a pretty good old boy, even by world standards. I have neighbors that could bury me with their righteousness, you know. So, but eating spiritual manna every day and drinking God's spirit world. And I think that just shows why we're still alive, because we don't get the whole load every day. We get this, we work on that, then we go to the next one, and we go things that we don't even realize. And Jesus is the source of spiritual food and drink. Christ has to be in us every day. Every day. Do we recognize our spiritual thirst? Are we like that deer? Are we just panting for that water brook where that water's flowing? Well, we know where we have to go to get it. So, brother, I'll just end with this saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because they will be filled.